Okay, we've got open lines now for the next couple hours here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to keep the theme of the psychic dreaming, but also check in with us on other things. And is anybody having a dream about North Korea? Check in with me on that, too. And we'll hit them all when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast, and welcome back to Open Lines, where we're talking about psychic dreaming. Do you have any of those? Have they happened to you? And also, just the situations that are happening worldwide. I want to get your take on that, whether your intuitive gut is telling you something. Share that with us as well. Let's go to our first-time caller to get things going. Denver, Colorado. Will is with us. Hey, Will, I'm going to be flying out there for my TV tapings tomorrow. I hear the weather's horrible. What's going on out there?
Oh, a lot of snow rolled in, George. And,
already? In April? Jeez.
Yes, sir. I've never really called a radio station before, but I listen to your show nightly. I'm a truck driver. I drive here at night.
Well, thank you for what you do.
Yes, thank you, George. You know, I had a couple subjects I wanted to call in on, but tonight I wanted to get in on because of something happened recently to me in a dream.
Okay.
I know I missed your last caller. I feel bad about that. I was trying pretty hard to get through. I'll get to it with the dream. I was at home. My wife and son are out of town. I was asleep, obviously. And in my dream, you know, I was awake. I was sitting on my couch. I was in my normal spot. And I was sitting there getting ready, hanging out in the house before I would leave to work in my dream. And, in the dream, I had heard a knock on my door, and I get to the door, and I get a weird feeling as I'm approaching the door. It kind of feels like, you know, walking down a long tunnel, and the tunnel's kind of getting tighter on you.
Yeah.
So I get to the door, and I look through the peephole at the door, and as I look through the peephole, what comes into sight is an old man with dark clothing and kind of a face you can't really recognize, but it's very old and very wrinkled. It wasn't anyone familiar to me at all. And at that moment, I had panicked and kind of jumped back from the door. And when I woke up out of my sleep, I was in a panic, heart racing, sweating. I was really nervous about being in the house, going near the door for the rest of that night. And I have no idea what that was. And that usually doesn't happen to me. It was kind of weird all at once.
To this day, has anything even gotten close to that in real life?
No, but I remember it very vividly every day. And, you know, as I recall on it, I could still feel that panic as I went towards the door. It was kind of awkward. I've always been in kind of in tune with... you know, I believe in the UFOs. I believe in ghosts pretty strongly. I think my mom's house was haunted. I did have an alien encounter. You know, I wasn't abducted or anything like that. Something visual I saw, not a UFO, but a creature. And that dream was the most recent thing. Those other things happened to me when I was a kid, but nothing as an adult. This is the only thing that had happened recently as an adult. I was wondering if I could have got your last guest take on that.
You know what? What I think he probably would have told you, Will, was it's not a psychic dream at all, but there's something else going on in your life that you're dealing with, and that you know, going to the door thing is got a lot to do with it. So maybe you're expecting something that you don't want, or something like that. But keep your eyes on it. That's an interesting take. Let's go to Andrew in El Paso, Texas now. Andrew, welcome to the program. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you all doing tonight?
Great. Everything's fine.
Just like your last caller, I was trying to get in before the before your guest was off, and I just thought I'd relate a story about a dream I had about, I guess it must have been about maybe 10, 12 years ago.
All right.
And it was a very vivid dream. It had to deal with my mother, who passed away. At that time, she had passed away about maybe 20 years before. She had never met my daughter, because she had passed away before I'd even gotten married or had any children. When I had this dream, we were at the old house that we were living in when I was growing up, and it seemed like there had been a party, like a birthday party or something, and we had a lot of family there, and it was in the late in the evening, and my daughter was there, and we were going to get ready to lay down and go to sleep. Well, the rest of the family members had gone off to other rooms, and everybody's getting ready for bed. Well, my mother had gone into the kitchen, and as soon as she had come back into the room that we were in, my daughter and I, she had walked up to say goodnight to us, and I turned to my daughter and told her to kiss her grandmother goodnight. And my grandmother leaned over and kissed her and said goodnight and everything. And then I said, well, that was very sweet of her. Well, what was so traumatic was, well, it's not traumatic. It was just really sensitive to me because the fact that my mother, it just seemed so vivid. And my mother, like I said, my mother had never seen my daughter.
Yeah.
So she woke up. I mean, I woke up and I had tears running down my head. The first time I'd ever had a dream that had woken me.
That emotional. Wow.
That emotional. And it's ironic because my daughter, we gave my daughter my mother's name. So she's it was just.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, I even think about it and I get choked up about it. And I'm, you know, just trying to keep straight right now because it's just, and this happened, like I said, about like maybe 10, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. So it's still emotional for me.
Well, there's that connection. There's that connection in the dream state. And yeah. You obviously tapped into it.
Well, I hope so. I want to think of it as a positive thing, as, you know, like as if my mother is still watching over.
Yes, absolutely.
But I just kind of was wanting to know what your guest might have thought about that particular dream. You know?
Well, there are a number of dreams, and gosh, I've interviewed so many dream experts like Rosemary Ellen Guiley and so many others. I feel like I'm one myself now. But there are many dreams where the spirits of the other side come and visit people in dream states. I mean, that happens. That happens a lot. And they're not psychic dreams in this case, or intuitive dreams, or it's not a lucid dream, but it's very possible that your mother, came to all of you in that dream state. Sammy's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to the show. Sammy, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Sammy, what's up?
Thanks for taking my call. I've really not listened to your show that much. But
well, you better start.
Well, I'm usually not up at this hour of the morning.
Well, we've got something called Coast Insiders where you can podcast the show and listen to it in the daytime.
Oh, well, that would be good.
And just go to our website.
The reason I am calling is minor. It's not really a dream. It's that state in between awake and asleep.
Okay.
I started having, when my sister died, I was 17. And I would feel the back of her hand touching my face, like she was telling me she was okay.
Right.
Or trying to comfort me.
And she probably was.
But I have had dreams where I feel, and like I said, they're not dreams. I know what's happening. It's in between that stage.
You're not asleep, you're not awake, you're kind of like right in limbo there, aren't you?
Right in limbo, but it feels like electricity is running all through my body.
Yeah. It's almost right before you fall asleep. It's right that moment before that happens.
Maybe, like I said, it's and I wake up and I'm frightened. And I'm afraid to go back to sleep. And then I start dozing off again, and it happens again. And I don't know, is that an evil spirit? Like I said, I'm from Oklahoma. I was raised Southern Baptist. that's from my mother's side. My father's side is Native American.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would make you think it was evil?
Because it frightened me.
Well, it frightened you because you're not used to it.
But when I feel somebody sitting on the edge of the bed and touching my face, I'm not afraid.
Maybe it's a loved one.
Right. But what is this when it feels like the electricity is running through my body and I'm afraid, and I'm afraid to go back to sleep?
That is a good question. You're going to need a little more information on that, Sammy. But in terms of not being afraid, thinking somebody's at the end of your bed, sounds like somebody who died in your family that still cares a lot about you, and they continued to come back. Richard's with us, Goldsboro, North Carolina. Hey, Rich, welcome back.
Hi, George, how are you?
Good. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, well, good. Sorry I didn't get into Lloyd a while ago, and had a good one for Dr. Wild last night, but I missed him. But anyway,
it's all timing.
Excuse me?
It's all about timing, Richard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I know that George Norrie's not a dull light bulb either, but I'll run it by you.
The
consciousness is what the Mr. Lloyd was talking about, and there's a lot of different stages of consciousness and unconsciousness and subconsciousness. But, well, I have had physical proof of my own, nothing I could really show George or Lloyd, but in your subconscious or unconscious state or dream state, time is irrelevant. It doesn't sit with time. Don't know if you've ever been put under anesthesia or been through surgeries or whatever, but, well, let's just say that if someone said, "Hey, George, we're almost done," and you actually heard that, if you set a clock when they said it and you were able to wake up after you heard it, the time would be different.
Right.
It's offset.
Almost instantaneous, it would feel like, wouldn't it?
Well, no, believe it or not, this is what I'm trying to say. It would not be. It could be 8 o'clock when they said it. And if you come around at 9, it could be in your thoughts, well, it had to have been 30 minutes ago. It would be 8:30. The time is offset from what? If I could pull it out of your subconscious and you would say, well, Richard, it was 8 o'clock when the woman said she said it. But, well, if you pull it out of your subconscious, it might be 8:30 to you. The time is...
Or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or anything like that.
Yeah, even before or after. So that kind of verifies the dream... premonition, the psychic thing that, well, why did we dream that this going to happen in the future, or why did we dream that happened in the past? Or so it's one of those Einstein things, I guess. I don't know, but it was an idea I just wanted to run by Lloyd, let him ponder on it or throw it out the window, whatever it is.
Have you ever, Richard, had an intuitive dream and then something happened?
I have, George, and I've actually had dreams recently that I woke up with, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's trying to tell me something is going to happen.
Yeah.
And in other words, you know it's going to happen, and you're sitting around thinking, well, what am I going to be able to do about it? Yeah, I have those a lot.
I wonder how many people are having dreams about the worldwide events right now, because I think something's going to happen. Tony's with us in Corona, California. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the program.
Well, George, it's good to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
I just thought that I would talk to you about stem cells, because I just received stem cells on the 20th of April.
For what?
For diabetes, for neuropathy. For stage 2 deterioration of the a kidney.
Wow.
Retinopathy.
And how are you doing?
The process is really relatively easy. It usually takes about probably three weeks to 30 days before you start seeing results. You know,
to get those cells to grow and multiply and everything else.
I had the fortunate thing to occur that the amount of stem cells they took out of me was far exceeding the normal amount.
Whose idea was it to do the stem cells, yours or a doctor?
It was my idea. It's an experimental process, so you can't really get anything like that done. No insurance will cover it yet.
No, they won't. That's sad, too. Where'd you have it done, in a hospital or a clinic?
I had done a clinic in North Las Vegas, and if you would like, I will tell you offline who it was and everything, because I know sometimes you don't really like somebody.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll let you tell it to Donna. Donna, pick up Tony on line 5 and get his information. Lots of stem cell places opening up. You need to be careful. You got to do your homework, do your research, make sure they're licensed, because it's still brand new, and like he was saying, insurance really doesn't pick it up. Edward's with us in New Jersey now. Hello, Edward. Welcome. Good morning.
I wanted to mention to your guest, whom I've been waiting here an hour and a half.
The guest is gone.
I had a very unusual dream. Nothing, not quite, I'm not sure that you would call it lucid. But he mentioned nothing about dreams of historical persons from times past.
You mean you would dream of, let's say, Winston Churchill or somebody?
Oh, I did better than that.
Oh, what do you have?
Johann Sebastian Bach.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do you like that kind of classical music?
I've written a book about him.
Oh, now did you write the book before or after the dream?
No, the dream was in 1967, and the book was in 2000.
How about that?
Which was the 250th anniversary of his decease.
The dream inspired the book.
The music inspired everything. Sebastian is one of my intimate associates.
Oh, he is?
From another life in Germany. But getting on to the fact, that really is true. I was teaching German, by the way, in college. It was my second year. Is my church my first teaching job?
You might be reincarnated.
I am from something. Yeah, I have published everything that I've written about music. It's in the journal.
That's remarkable.
I was a published writer when I was 19.
And you think you had help doing that?
I live with angels and spirits anyway. But what I'm getting to is the dream.
Hold on for the break, Edward, and we'll get to the dream when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, by the way, to follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And if you need to send me an email, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. Open lines here for the next hour and a half, and we will get right back to you, Edward, when we come right back. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Let's go back to Edward in Wyckoff, New Jersey. Edward, tell us about the dream. What's going on?
Yes, well, thank you. This is a continuation from your previous guest. I might mention first, when I was in college, I had a reproduction of a painting of Sebastian Bach on the wall of my room, and I had written at the bottom of the picture the words, "My favorite pupil." To the dream. It was brief. I was in what seemed to be a convention hall on the upper floor, and in the background somewhere there was a choir singing the opening chorus of Bach's cantata, Christlach in Totus Bondon. It's a cantata for Easter, 1724. I was listening to this. I can remember the exact place where in the score where they were, and suddenly the scene shifted. And here I was before Sebastian Bach, or so it seemed. He looked exactly as he did in Leipzig in the 1720s, same colors. He had a black coat, white wig, but the colors were not like anything that we see in this life. They were absolutely vivid. There was an intensity like a no living human being. Bright blue eyes. And the biggest, the most significant thing was the face. It glowed. It was light. It was like a pink-white glow.
But you could make out the face. So.
Oh, it was absolutely clear.
Yeah.
There's no question of who this was. But it was the clarity and the vividness that was not like anything in this dimension. This is the most vivid dream I've ever had. He didn't say anything, but I asked him, may I have your place at the Thomaskirche? He nodded in assent. And the next thing I knew, I was awake in my room in Durham, North Carolina, where I was at Duke University. That was the end of that one. The music of Bach continues with me. It's literally a theme in my life.
Are you a musician?
Oh, yes. I'm an organist for a church, or I have been. I've published everything that I've written about music history, including two articles about Bach and the performance of his music on the harpsichord. I actually built a harpsichord.
That's not easy to do.
Well, this is biography.
By this dream state relationship with Bach, have you picked up on things that most people would never have known about him?
About Bach, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I could go on, at length about this. I mean, that's not my purpose in calling, although I don't mind doing that. Some of this I put in that book, which was a memorial book on his 250th anniversary of his passing. This would have been 2000. It was partially a pictorial tour through Germany, the places where he had been, and all the documents that are extant that either he wrote or that were written by contemporaries who knew him. I might mention significantly there was a pastor in Dresden at that time, writing in 1742. He called Bach the Miracle in Leipzig, and so that's the title of the book, The Miracle in Leipzig. Let me say this about Sebastian. My opinions of him, my angle on him, is not that of anything academic. It's not about anything that anybody has taught me or told me that I must believe. My personal relation. Sebastian Bach was not merely a period musician. He was a cosmic being.
Was he a genius?
He was above genius. This is not apparent, and if you listen to his music, if you take one thing at a time, if you take a concerto, for example, or anything, this is not immediately apparent. You need to live with this in extended time, with no time limit, and to survey the whole of his output.
How would you compare Bach's music to the music of today?
There is no comparison. It's from a totally different dimension.
Would you pick one over the other? Or can you?
You mean the music of today? Well, the music of today is not music. And I do hear this regularly on our radio station, WQXR in New York, where, in fact, we're exposed to it copiously every day. If Sebastian Bach could hear that, he would have turned blue.
Interesting take on that. Being able to dream about him, and maybe he visits you and communicates with you. Let's go next to Jason in Syracuse, New York. Welcome to the program, Jason. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks, George. Great to have you on. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
I'm actually going to bring you full circle. I called earlier about the dreams and what I've been experiencing. I think you're right in your assessment. Something big's going to happen.
Yeah.
First off, I'm 46 years old. I have a background in mechanical engineering. I have a medical degree, and I also have a architectural degree. I don't consider myself crazy, but I've had I believe I've been visited by entities, I would say, and they've more or less given me the ability, or I guess they may be tracking what I've been doing.
For a purpose, there's a reason, I guess.
Yes, there definitely is. I've been trying to make sense of it my entire life. Going back and thinking about what's happened to me throughout my life and now in my adult life, It's becoming more frequent. These visits have become more frequent. You know, I've had multiple encounters and the things that I just can't explain. I've got a very logical mind. But things have happened recently that just I can't explain. And what I've been shown, you know, I keep a very extensive journal and a dream log, and there's a difference between dreams and visions, I guess you would say. But some of these visions that I've had involve, you know, cataclysmic events. And from what it's my understanding, I mean, I've got one that I documented in my journal that happened. It's supposed to happen on the West Coast. And, you know, in this vision, I'm somewhere in Ohio. I mean, I'm in New York now, but for some reason I'm somewhere in Ohio, and I see this, you know, this giant cloud, almost like a mushroom cloud. Or, yeah.
Get rid of that dream. Jeez.
Well, I didn't choose it. It came to me.
It came to you.
And, you know, I see this, you know, this cataclysmic event, and it's just, you know, it's just so vivid. And, you know, just the debris, the ash clouds, everything. And then just recently, within the last week, I was shown another one that was more or less in the future where, you know, I'm being brought over, you know, over cities that are populated, you know, with supposedly skyscrapers and whatnot. But there's just, everything's just flooded. And it's just not the world that it is today.
Just devastation all over the place. All over the planet or just here in the United States?
It's pretty much all over. It's a cataclysmic world event, yeah.
So like a nuclear holocaust of
more or less, yeah. I mean, from what I get from it, that there's, you know, there's going to be some type of, you know, global flooding. I mean, just bad news all over. You know, and I you know, the one I had about the West Coast event, that was, you know, that was about 6 months ago. You know, I documented everything. And then now when you see this in the news, it's like, oh, no, you know, I hope this isn't what this is all about.
Right. And I don't think you're alone in this either, Jason. I think a lot of people are beginning to have these kinds of dreams. We go to Martha in Santa Cruz, California now. Hello, Martha.
Yes, I'm back.
Yes, you are. You just can't have enough of us, can you?
No, I can't. You know, it's interesting. You know, I told you I was empathic. Well, it's more than that. My dreams, they're more like impressions, and I'm always awake. Now, this has happened since I've been 5. I'm 67 now. You know, they save lives, George.
They
are, yes, they are precognitive. But I believe it's a spiritual thing. I'm a gift. But one story I have is a couple, real short. My friend in the 80s, I was just ironing. And all of a sudden I saw her underwater and she was drowning. And I said, Kathleen, wake up. Well, I let it go. And she called me the next day. She said, I have something terrible to tell you, a horrible thing. I was exhausted and I went into the hot tub. And I had a glass of wine, and I fell asleep.
She sank into the water.
And I heard your name. I heard you say, wake up, Kathleen. And I started to cry.
Isn't that amazing? You saved her life in a dream.
Yep. I was awake, George. I'm always awake. But she felt she was drowning. And I said, wake up, Kathleen. It was around midnight. A lot of times I have these midnight, and I'm awake. The next one, I was in a prayer group, and we'd been eating at the church. And we were outside my house, the three of us. And all of a sudden, these things happened like a picture in front of me. And I said, everybody stop. There was a young man in our church. He was fairly new. I said, he just got shot 6 times, and he's on his way to the hospital. We need to pray now.
Oh, my God.
Well, a week later, he came to church. And he relayed exactly what I saw. He said, I don't know why I'm living. I was shot in vital organs 3 times, and they can't believe that I'm alive. And he said, but who, did anybody get this? Because we asked that, you know, things happen. I raised my hand, and the ladies raised their hands, and they said, Martha did see it. And it happens all the time, George.
Well, you've got the gift, Martha, and you might as well take advantage of it and help you. You saved your friend. We have Damon in Colorado Springs, Colorado, first-time caller. Hi, Damon. Thanks for calling.
Hi, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
First-time caller. Got through twice today, though. I never got through before.
Good for you.
I had a thing for Lloyd and get that real quick, but he can't comment on it. There was a Dr. Robert Duncan, and he's a DARPA insider, and he's the keynote speaker at the BASIS project.
Okay.
And he talked about a technology where they can control what you dream. I think it derived from the Voice of God project.
I know they're working on stuff like that, but you're saying they've got it perfected already?
That's what he claims.
Wow.
Okay. But I'll get to what you wanted to talk about. And so I do some research on God and write about God. So I do it unorthodox way. So I go onto YouTube and I go, Dreams I Had. And I noticed a pattern. And the pattern was that the United States would be nuked by all the major cities. People are having that dream all over.
That's happening now?
Yeah, like if I go to Dreams of Nuclear Holocaust in America on YouTube, you'll have 486,000 results.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I watched so many of them and started putting them together. And what happened, I saw it seemed like North Korea will nuke South Korean Seoul and destroy all the troops there. And then after that, there'd be a short time span, Russia and China do a sneak attack and take out all major cities.
Of course, we're going to retaliate. Our submarines are the deterrent. I hope people understand that.
I hope so, too, but in many of the dreams, we did not retaliate at all.
We've got setups, Damon, that if our submarines do not hear any kind of feedback communication, they have to go on the assumption that something horrible has happened, and they start to launch. I believe that's already in place, and those systems are there. I was in the Navy 9 years. I was never told this at all. I was stationed at the Pentagon for a couple weeks. I had to watch the news desk for the chief of information. But we were never told things like what I'm guessing at right now. But I do believe that if our submarines cannot reach somebody on the mainland or whoever they communicate with, that they have launch capabilities. Now, the subs are all over the place, aimed at China and Russia on a regular basis. They're already programmed into the subs. That has been a deterrent on both sides. When the Soviets had subs here, they still do, and we had ours. But this is a tense time, truly a tense time, and I don't know if negotiation will work. That's the problem. They've got to. North Korea has got to stop and eliminate its nuclear program. It's got to be over with. You can't come to some compromise. You've got to just end it, and that's the scary part. Mike in Livermore, California. Hello, Michael.
Well, good morning, George. Good
morning to you.
As usual, synchronicity has kicked in. Your show just ties right into what's been going on right now today in my life.
All right, what's happening?
My daughter called me this morning, and she was all concerned because she had a dream last night. And the dream was
that Oakland Raiders were moving to Vegas.
That's not a dream, that's a reality.
Yeah, that's happening.
No. Well, you know me. I walk the dogs at night, and
yep.
At this point, the one dog on Friday night.
You lost one about what, 6 months ago, something like that?
What's that?
Didn't you have a dog you had to put down?
Actually, it's been a couple years now, and I've got a new shepherd puppy who's great. He's like 2.5 years old, and he's fantastic. And we'll listen to the show down here at the park, and then I'll walk on the way home. I go by this bar, and in the last month or so, he wanders into the bar. The bartender loves him. Everybody loves him in there. They play ball with him, everything else. I told my daughter about this. Well, her dream was, she calls me up. She says, "What are you doing tonight?" I said, "I'm going to go walk the dog." And she says, "Well," and she explains this dream, that I'm at that bar, and there's something going on between a man and a woman, and the man's hurting the woman, and I intercede, and I end up in the hospital. The dog ends up dead.
Okay, horrible.
Well, in about 5 minutes, I'm walking by there.
In real life now, okay.
In real life.
All right.
This hasn't come true yet. So do I live my life in fear?
No, of course not. You can't.
No. I mean, as I see it, George, you know me. I'm a Christian. I believe in prophetic dreams because they are things that happen. And they either come from God or they come from Satan. And if it comes from God, it's God's will. It's going to happen.
Well, what you should learn, though, Mike, from this dream is maybe you don't intercede. Just call the cops, for example. Let them come.
Exactly, George.
Yeah.
Exactly what I was thinking. You know what? It's God's will. Maybe he's giving me a warning. And he's saying, don't do what you would do. And like you said, call the cops.
Call the cops. So, you never know if somebody's got a gun on themselves or a knife or anything like that. You got to protect yourself. Well, I would do that right away. Just call the cops. Get it done. We all have smartphones now. Just hit 911 real fast. You should have your locator on so they can find you quickly in case you can't talk. We're coming back another hour of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.